This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Linda, Linda, morning, noon, and night I find Linda's always on my mind. When I go to sleep, I never count sheep. I count all the charms about Linda. Lately it seems, in all of my dreams, I walk with my arms about Linda. But what good does it do me? For Linda doesn't know I exist. Can't help feeling gloomy. Think of all the love and I've missed.
Oh yeah, a little bit of little Linda. That's Perry Como doing it. It's a special song for a Linda that I know, who is celebrating a birthday today, a very important birthday. So, Linda, happy birthday to you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday, June the 29th. Wow, we only got, what, 5 days until the 4th? It's going to be a different kind of 4th, kind of a subdued 4th, maybe. We'll talk about that a little later. But in the meantime, we are going to be talking in a couple of minutes with Jim Burling of the Pacific Legal Foundation about the host of important Supreme Court cases that are yet to come this summer. And I mean, we got a bucket full, including school choice and abortion and whether or not Donald Trump's taxes can be released, all that kind of thing. So stay tuned for it. And while cops are bailing out of the Big Apple, New York City, violent crime shakes its ugly head once again in Chicago over the weekend, and the Chop Zone in Seattle suffers another murder, killing. We're going to take a look at all of that. And now over 500,000 people worldwide have died in the pandemic. More regions in America now masking up. Do these masks help? Are they making any difference? Or is it just a political thing? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, and for those of you that like to stay healthy, get out your pens and be ready, the top 10 most fit states in America. The most fit states in America. We'll see if Big Ed knows what number one is. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, that I can tell you. And it's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza that is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. But you got to call for an appointment. You know the rules these days, you people that live here. So dial 727-733-3773 and get booked for the best haircut in town. 733-3773. And while we're at it, you can visit our website and listen to our show any old time because we got all of them on there, thanks to Big Ed, on podcast. OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, I mean, I don't know if we're in the second wave or the wave never left us. The number of coronavirus deaths worldwide is now 500,000. It's over 500,000. More than a quarter of all deaths, if you believe these statistics, have occurred in the United States, according to Johns Hopkins University. I can almost guarantee you that we are not number one in deaths. I can almost guarantee you that China is number one in fatalities for the disease, but you're never going to get the right answers and the truth from China when it comes to stuff like that. Now, this 500,000 milestone, the official milestone, comes after India and Russia have added thousands of new cases. And we've got a surge hitting in certain areas of the United States, as you probably know. So the global number of infections is now past 10 million. But remember, we've got close to 4 billion people on this planet. So 10 million is not a lot in comparison, but it's a lot of people just standing by itself. And we're supposed to be here in America, number one in both death and confirmed infections. Well, maybe we keep better records than everybody else, right? New York still number one, highest death toll. 31,000 people have died in the Empire State. Second is New Jersey. And New Jersey's less than half of what New York is, but they're second. New Jersey has over 14,000. And then Massachusetts lagging behind in third at 8,000, with Illinois at 6,800, and then Pennsylvania, more than 6,600. You know, Florida, Texas, and Arizona, and California, in comparison, have, for whatever reason, have managed to keep the numbers a lot lower. I mean, come on, California is the largest state in the union, and they're not in the top four or five. Florida and Texas, third and second, respectively. But we got lots of infections here, that's for sure. And we're going to talk a little bit later about masks. Now, here in our county, you got to wear them everywhere you go now. When you go inside, I don't believe you have to walk down the street with one. In fact, I'm quite sure you don't. But if you go inside of a store, yep, you got to put them on. And I've yet to see anybody not put them on in my limited trips since the decree. But some people are making it a political thing, you know? If you see people with masks, oh, they're probably liberals. And if you see them without a mask, now there's a Trumper for you. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But we have a group that gets together every Friday night. And I can tell you, there are some people in our group that firmly believe that you can figure out a person's politics by whether or not they are wearing a mask. Ed, I got to ask you, if you have a thought on it, do you think when you walk into a store, and I'm not talking about now because everybody has to wear a mask, but say maybe a couple of weeks ago, did you think every person you saw with a mask on in the store was probably a Democrat or a liberal?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see party affiliation just by wearing a mask.
Yeah. Man. Okay.
They're getting creative these days, and now you can.
Some
say Trump 2020. That's when the Democrats will say we don't need to wear masks anymore.
Yes. I must tell you, somebody was very innovative in our group. She made a mask, and if you pull on the little string there attached, it lifts up a flap, and there's her tongue sticking. Not her tongue, but a fake tongue sticking out at you. I thought that was pretty good. See, you're right. We are getting creative.
They need one for, you know, straw or hold or something. Hold for a straw?
Yes.
So you can wear them when you're drinking.
You got to have a little something, though, because you got to cover the little hole for the straw mm-hmm. when you're not drinking, right? Yeah, you got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure the Chinese will.
Well, they start everything else.
They sell, yeah. They
including the pandemic. Yeah, Why don't they start something
they
like that?
They gave us the virus. They'll sell us the antidote.
They probably will. Yeah. You know, that's what's crazy about this world. You can be the cause and the answer.
Look at the hand sanitizer on the desk there. Yeah. I brought that in today.
Yeah.
Smell that.
Okay. It's very nice of you to do. We always keep things very, by the way.
Got that from Walmart yesterday. Smell that. What does that smell like?
Oh, God.
Does that smell like tequila?
You know what I was going to tell you?
What?
Raisins or prunes?
No.
It smells like prune juice. It sure doesn't smell like what I would think it should smell like. But yeah, maybe it is.
Guess where that's made?
Oh, don't tell me it's made in China, is it?
Yep.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Everything they must have been ready. I mean, they had their numbers in line.
It does say made in China. It is right.
They made all these antidotes, then they sent the virus out. So now you put that in your hands and rub it all over, you smell like tequila. Now DUIs are going to skyrocket in the state, you know?
Right. You don't think China might do something bad with hand sanitizer?
Oh, I mean, no, not China.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's not go down that road because we're going to switch gears here. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, We're going to talk with Jim Burling, and we're going to talk about the upcoming to-be-decided cases in the Supreme Court.
Sugar, oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Honey, oh, sugar, sugar,
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. We are back on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we're delighted to have Jim Burling of the Pacific Legal Foundation join us, and we're going to talk with Jim about the Supreme Court and the cases that they are quite possibly going to be coming out with here before the end of their term. And by the way, we're getting very close to the end. And Jim, just as we come back from break, I see that the Supreme Court has struck down that Louisiana abortion restriction law. I don't know if you just saw that or not, but let's...
Yeah, that's correct. It's a case called June Medical Services versus Russo, and it's based on a law that was pretty much similar to one that was struck down in Texas in 2016. And we had a 5-4 decision with Justice Roberts joining the majority. The opinion was written by Justice Breyer. And Justice Breyer essentially said that, look, if you have these restrictions that make it very difficult, almost impossible in some cases, for women to obtain abortions, we're going to strike them down. Since the Louisiana statute is pretty much the same as what we already struck down in Texas in 2016, we're striking this one down too. Roberts joined the opinion simply saying that it was stare decisis that had already been decided in 2016. I'm not going to join in the rest of the language. And there was a pretty strong dissent by the usual conservative dissenters in this case, especially Justice Thomas, who wrote that he thought that the restrictions really were not, that the doctors who brought this challenge to the lawsuit really had no business bringing the challenge because they were not affected as much as the women were in the children.
Okay.
Were.
And this
so had, it's a brand new decision from them.
Wow. Now, this had to do with doctors who perform abortions having to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. Yes, that's right.
Now, John Roberts is slowly turning into Anthony Kennedy. Maybe not so slowly. Anthony Kennedy became the swing vote. And John Roberts, more and more, is becoming more a centrist. Or even, you know, on some of these more important cases, he has sided with the liberals. Has he not? Now, he's done that already with the with the Affordable Care Act. And he may do it again with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, he seems to be concerned more than anything else with the court's reputation with the liberal press and liberal Congress.
Now, that is a scary statement, very scary statement to make. Go ahead.
He's joining these liberal opinions in sort of a half-hearted way a lot of times, saying, well, I don't agree with everything you said, but in this case, they're decisive, or there's a technical reason why I'm joining them. And so he's essentially... He thinks he's trying to save the institution. I mean, I'm reading his mind, of course. I can't. But he has always been a very pragmatic attorney. When he was an attorney, very pragmatic person arguing for the court. Quite frankly, I was concerned when he was first appointed. I was one of the very few people to have written a column suggesting that he wasn't perhaps the best we could have gotten. He's done a lot of good things. And I agree with a lot of his opinions that he's come out. He has pleasantly surprised me in a number of cases, but I think more and more, I think he is focusing more on the institution. He's afraid of the court packing threats of the Supreme Court, and he is coming out with decisions that are not by any stretch of the imagination conservative or what he was appointed, the reasons why he was appointed.
Well, yeah, exactly, and at least... you know, if you know that a person's principles are, let's say, locked in, rooted in something, but I don't see that Roberts has any roots. And I'm beginning to worry a little bit about that, because if you don't have any roots, you might not have any real conviction. And if you do have real conviction, you're not necessarily going to exercise real conviction all the time. I'm beginning to think that Roberts is like that. But let's move on to some of these other cases that have not yet come out with a decision. One of them that I think is very important, Jim, is this one. I think it's in Utah. It has to do with can a state exclude church schools from programs that support students in private schools and the ability to get vouchers and that kind of funding. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, so this is the we got a series of cases. Well, I have to go back just a little bit of history. Back in the late 19th century, early 20th century, a number of states had passed what they called these Blaine Amendments, where they simply prohibited schools or any government aid to any parochial institution because there's a great deal of anti-Catholic bias, and the idea that there were Catholic schools bothered a lot of people, and they didn't think the Catholics should get any money. And the Catholics set these schools up as an alternative to what was largely the Protestant-dominated public schools. But you go fast forward, and this antipathy that was toward Catholics has now been transferred into an antipathy towards all religions and all religious aid of any kind. And so we have these cases where you have... governments wanting to set up, help for the parochial schools, and more importantly, help for alternatives for children to have some of their education in an alternative to the public schools, which in many areas are just simply failing. So we have these cases that are working their way up, and a couple in particular. There's the St. James School versus Board, and we have
I actually screwed it up. I screwed up and said Utah. I think it's in Montana, Espinosa versus Montana, which is really the one.
Yeah.
And it does indeed have to do with whether or not religious schools are going to get some of this money and whether or not that's fair. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the ironic thing in that case was that there was a school choice provision where there is going to be the ability of making a tax-deductible donation to a fund, and the fund would distribute money to the schools. So it was not direct aid to the schools, which is prohibited, but it was based on a model in other states. And what happened here was that the government in Wyoming said, no, we're not going to distribute this money. We're simply going to stop the program in its tracks. The money does not get to the Catholic schools or any alternative charter school or anything like that that is any parochial affiliation. And that was seen to be a, some people criticized that. This is brought by our friends at Institute for Justice. And that case was seen to be an exercise, or the government's exercise, an anti-religious bias. And that's what's up before the court right now. And they have not come up with a decision yet. We're expecting that to be coming out probably the end of this month, but this has been such a strange term, we don't know.
Yes, indeed. And I would hope that they get some common sense there. I mean, come on. This gives people with limited incomes the opportunity to send their children to a school that might do a better job than the local public school for them. And everybody with any common sense knows.
But you have to understand that these alternative schools are creating a huge challenge to the government schools and the unions
exactly.
that run the government schools. And if you can avoid having competition, if you can have a monopoly, you know, everybody hates a monopoly when it's done by big business, but everybody loves apparently a monopoly in government when we're talking about education. I'm being somewhat facetious there.
I know.
That's clearly what's going on, is that the unions, and this is their bidding in this case as well, they brought some of the initial challenges, the teachers' unions. Teachers' unions don't have the interest of the kids at hand. They have their own interests at stake in a lot of these cases. And it's just the children are the ones that are suffering.
We're talking with Jim Burling. He is the Vice President of Legal Affairs at the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we're talking about all these cases that have come up before the Supreme, a very pivotal number of cases this year. Jim, let's talk about a few of the others that are coming up. There is one that has to do with Donald Trump. There's always something that has to do with Donald Trump, and in this case,
there are several to do with Donald Trump.
And this has to do with New York and whether or not his personal tax returns and financial dealings can be turned over. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we have cases. We have several cases, Trump versus Vance, Trump versus Mazars, and these are cases where either New York or the House is trying to get deep into Trump's record. They want to go for fishing expeditions to find out shady business practices so they could use that perhaps to bring another impeachment against him, or use that for the 2020 campaign to help Joe Biden get elected. I mean, whether or not you think that Donald Trump is a great president or he's a flawed individual, I have never seen such relentless attacks on a man as an individual, going after everything from his returns, from his past records. And so this is an attempt to get his tax returns, and it's being vigorously opposed by Donald Trump, of course. He's taking this as a matter of principle. These are my private affairs. They don't have anything to do with the way I'm running the government. But people want to get into his tax returns. I mean, there have been hints of what's in those and for various times. But the legal question is, you know, what kind of right to privacy do you have in one's tax return? The U.S. government cannot release tax returns. That's strictly according to the law. But now they're trying to get at it in different ways. And we have seen this in other contexts where liberal states are trying to get in tax returns of nonprofits, like conservative nonprofits, in order to look at their donors. And now people are trying to get into the tax returns of Trump. So the idea that your tax returns are private and not going to be seen by anybody, that's eroding quickly if you happen to be a target of somebody who thinks there could be something interesting there to see.
I think you're right. You make a good point about all of that. We'll see where that one goes, too. Do you have any thought as to how the court might rule on that one?
Yeah, I am optimistic that the court is going to see that this kind of fishing expedition really is inconsistent with the privacy that we generally assume that we have in our tax return. This is a very set of strange cases, and I think that in this case, we had the oral argument that was held very recently in May, so it's one of the reasons why it's one of the last decisions. But you look at the oral argument, and I think that there's probably a decent chance, I think, that Trump is going to succeed in this one. Naturally, with the way that the court swings in unanticipated ways, who knows? But I think this is probably one that Trump is going to prevail on.
Okay, very interesting indeed. Finally, is there any other case you want to bring up? We've mentioned quite a few major ones. I know there are others, maybe about 13 or 12 that are left. There's one about the religion and birth control. Can the Trump administration exempt employers who cite religious...
This gets back to this long-running dispute. We had the Little Sisters of the Poor case a number of years ago, and now this case is back because the Trump administration granted exemptions to employers who, for religious purposes, did not want to be compelled to fund directly or indirectly contraceptives. And we have the, a charity like Little Sisters of the Poor, which is front and center of this thing. Look, we have our mission to help the poor, to do good things for people, but we do not want to have anything to do with contraception because that is against our deeply held religious beliefs. But other people are saying, well, wait a minute, you're an employer just like any other employer. You should be treated like everybody else. And this is where the controversy comes out. The mandate came in the Obama administration, and then they did a little backpedaling, trying to have this halfway measure of an exception that, okay, you don't have to pay extra, but your insurance company still has to cover it. Well, you can move the dollars through any of the glasses that you have or the cups on the table. You move them around, but the dollars are still being spent. So the little Sisters of the Poor objected to that. When the Trump administration came in, they said enough is enough, and they granted a real method of having an exemption. But, of course, people on the other side are claiming that is violative of the Obamacare rules and is providing special exceptions to religious circumstances. So these cases with a contraceptive mandate are also pending at the court. We have not heard yet whether or not when there's a decision going to be issued.
How do you think they're going to go on that one, Jim?
I think once again, I'm looking down, a new decision just came down.
Oh, really?
Important, which we'll get to in a minute, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So in answer to that question, I think they are going to rule in favor of the Little Sisters of the Poor. I think that this is a case where Roberts has not been one to waffle too much. So I think that the Little Sisters of the Poor will be recognized. So the court just issued a decision in CELA Law versus Consumer Financial Protection Agency. The Consumer Financial Protection Board was an independent agency where vast powers were given to a single director, a director who could not be fired. And so the question has come up whether that's a violation of the separation of powers. This was engineered. This was engineered by Elizabeth Warren. She wanted to have an agency essentially that would have no limits on what it could do. It would last forever. Congress could not come in and second guess it and change things around. And the leadership was by a single individual.
That doesn't sound fair. To give that kind of power to somebody that's not elected. But go ahead.
Yeah. So that is one of the key issues that we have with this growth of the administrative state. We have unelected bureaucrats who, in theory, are at least answerable to the president, and then the president is answerable to the voters. But here, with the removal power being taken away, it's made it very, very difficult. And so there's a case a number of years ago. It's a famous case called Humphrey's Executor, where Congress permitted this to happen with a board that you had a number of individuals and they couldn't be fired except for cause, which means the president did not have the power to hire and fire them. But at least there's a board involved. But here was a single individual. Court here, simply the bottom line, the court declines to extend these precedents of the older cases like Humphreys to an independent agency led by a single director with vested executive power. And the structure has no foothold in history and tradition, and Congress has provided removal protection to principal officers who wield this power. And in this case, it doesn't exist. So the court seems to have, and this is a Roberts opinion, and it was joined by Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, joining most of it. And we had a dissent. Thomas filed a dissent in part with Gorsuch and Kagan, and Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor joined. But I am just looking at it, and everything is coming down the pike, and so I haven't.
Yeah, don't worry about it. That's all right. You know, they get complicated, and let's not worry about it. But that is an interesting case. Well, I'm sure that the details will come out here as everybody's looking down the thing, you know, to find out exactly which way they went. But in the meantime, Jim, thank you so very much. What an interesting discussion. I know we'll talk again soon.
All right. Pleasure talking with you.
All right, sir.
Have a great day. Bye.
Jim Burling of the Pacific Legal Foundation. All right. Went a little longer than usual because we had so many things to talk about with the Supreme Court. We're going to take our break. When we come back, our eye in the northern sky will be with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about, all of these memorials being toppled and also some of these crime situations like in Chicago and Seattle.
My love, tumble me down. You leave me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back. And thank you for being with us here on Freedom Works. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And we thank you for joining us. Hey, we got some good news with all of the bad news, with all of the riots and the pandemic and all of the other things that are going on. The stock market is about 400 points to the good right now, which I'm glad to see. You know, it seems like with all this trouble with the virus and with all of these demonstrations and all of this havoc going on, chaos, that the stock market all of a sudden is taking some of this stuff in stride. Now, in New York, the police in the Gotham City there are getting fed up. They're bailing. A lot of these police are bailing. And it could be a coming crisis. There's about 36,000 police in New York City. And now they're talking about defunding the police. And there's just a lot of there's a lot of depression going on, I think, with police departments all over the place, but in particular in New York, with a lot of people now retiring. They've had quite a spike, a 49% spike from 183 officers who filed. Well, I should say there's 272 that have filed now, which is a 49% spike from the 183 from a year ago. So our eye in the northern sky happens to be in New York, Rochester, that is. Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, are you a little worried that we're going to start losing police?
They want to start defunding the police up here, too.
Do they?
Yes, they've been talking about it. And, and people are, taking heed to it, saying why they want to do that,
Well, I mean, can't they see what goes on when you start losing your police? Look at what happened in Seattle. By the way, another fatality there. One man's died and another is hospitalized in critical condition today following the latest shooting in this zone of peace.
Yeah, the summer of love.
The summer of love and peace, where you won't let medical or cops in to take care of people that are getting killed. That's a little strange. And look at Chicago.
Yeah,
Angelo,
murders every
another,
night.
Listen to this. This is so sad. I mean, another bloody weekend. 13 people were killed in Chicago over the weekend, including a one-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. Now, you never hear their names, do you?
No, you never do.
So, anyway.
Black Lives Matter.
Well, the thing is that all lives matter, but you can't even say that anymore, apparently, because
you
get in trouble.
You know what? It's true. All lives matter, but people just don't seem to care anymore today on anything. It's pretty.
There
pathetic.
Is a lot of apathy now. I'm also reading, and I like your honest thought on this, Angelo. That there might be a possibility that Donald Trump is just going to say, "I'm not going to run again. I've had enough." There's some talk. I read it on a Fox News website that that he may indeed be thinking, I'm looking at the poll numbers. My poll numbers are going down, not up. Maybe people are blaming me for the protests when they shouldn't be. And maybe they're blaming me for the pandemic when they shouldn't be. What do you think about all of it?
I think that's just hearsay. Donald Trump, I don't think, is the kind of an individual to just throw in the towel. I think he loves this country more than what people give him credit for, and he's not a quitter. I think that it's just, people are just throwing that into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the poll numbers and everything. I mean, anybody with common sense would, rationalize and know that he's not at fault for this pandemic. He's not at fault for these riots. It just seems like this is the going thing, Your Hollywood people, your elites, everybody is just joining into this thing. And I saw this colonel last night on, Life, Liberty, and Levin.
Okay, that's on Fox News.
That's on the Fox News channel.
Yeah, and we're talking about Mark Levin, just so everybody knows he's an attorney, very conservative, and he does that show. Go ahead.
And this colonel, he was a U.S. congressman. He was recently in a motorcycle accident. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and he was talking about, he happens to be African-American, and he was saying how, this election is between freedom or socialism. It's either our country is the United States of America, or it's going to go to the way of Marxism, our freedom.
Now,
he says if we vote for the Democrats and we vote this way, you're going to lose your freedoms. You're going to lose your right to bear arms. You're going to lose the right of the First Amendment and many other things.
Mm-hmm.
He was very adamant about it. He was so right in what he was talking. I was just awed by the way he spoke last night.
Right. So, well, theoretically, we don't know. Nobody knows because we're still 4 months away from the election. So, look what, 4 months ago, with the economy riding high and the stock market riding high and employment riding high, I mean, nobody knew and would have guessed, nobody, that we would have a pandemic that would destroy the job situation and make the stock market tank and now, kill all of these people worldwide. 500,000 are now dead worldwide from this thing. So things beyond the control, right? Beyond control of Donald Trump.
Beyond our control.
And beyond our control. So if, God forbid, we're in the same situation with the pandemic in November, in 4 months, that we are now, do you think Donald Trump can be reelected?
Yes. I think there's a majority out there that aren't really saying anything. It's like, I myself, I've never been polled by anybody. I've never been asked who I'm voting. Never, ever, ever, ever since I've been voting. And these polls that they're putting on, there's the news they're putting on there, the same thing that they put on with Hillary Clinton.
Do you think that they're actually inaccurate?
I do. Because, they're telling you what the media is telling you what they want you to hear. They're the ones that are controlling the whole thing.
Let me play devil's advocate. Even Fox News, which is a conservative or a bent station, as you know.
Yeah, but it's to a point because somebody else bought them out.
Well, my point is that their polls also show that Trump has been losing ground to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that this moment in time is not indicative. And I do think to some extent that the people that conduct these polls oversample Democrats, undersample conservatives and Republicans, because they don't take into effect those that are motivated to go and vote. You just don't know what will motivate people to go and vote. So you can maybe have what you think is a representative sample of the number of Democrats and Republicans in the country, but that's not that's not the percentage of people that will go to the polls. Because maybe 90% of the Republicans will go and only 65% of the Democrats. So that'll skew the poll numbers, right?
Right. It should. I mean, let's face it. There's more registered Democrats than there are registered Republicans.
I think so, too, yes, in this
country. But then there are your independents, too, and people that don't register in either party. And I think they never, they're not going to say one way or the other whether they're going to vote, if they get contacted to be polled. And it just surprises me that anybody who loves this country would vote for the Democrats. The Democratic Party is the one that, like they were saying last night, they were hell-bent on fighting the Civil War in 1860 when Lincoln was elected, that they seceded from the Union. They said they were going to secede from the Union if he was elected president. In 1864, he won the election again, of course, just from the Union. And then this election is going to be the same way. Trump gets elected, they're going to be complaining. And again, it's like 1860.
So you think there's a similarity between Lincoln's reelection and Trump's possible reelection?
Yes, because all this stuff is happening as the same thing happened in 1860. The country was so divided then as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
That You know, he's a polarizing figure, same thing as Lincoln was.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like I said, this election is really whether the United States is going to exist versus it's not going to exist.
Wow, yeah.
I really believe
yeah, that. Yeah, I think there's some truth in that. I think the socialism has never been more powerful in this country than it is right now.
Communism, all you have to do is, there was a young lady the other night on the Fox network, she was from Venezuela. She was talking about how in Venezuela they were tearing down the statues and this and that, you know. It's their way of destroying our history. Our history of the United States. They want to take away the United States of America. And people, America had better wake up. And I think they really do. I think they're really going to see this dumb election. That when it comes down to it, is America the United States of America, or is it going to be the Union of the Socialist America?
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, Angelo, thank you so much, my friend. We got to run now. Thank you so much. As always, some very good points, and we'll talk with you again hopefully next Monday.
Okay, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Angelo Sorese. We're going to take our final break. It'll be a limited break because we got to get to some things. But hang on, we'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And before we get to our top 10, it's a good one, by the way. Top 10 most fit states in America. You know, those that are want to keep in shape. I thought I'd ask Big Ed something because I noticed in the paper or online today, Ed, maybe you are not aware of it, but Cam Newton is signing up with the New England Patriots. Is he going to be their starting quarterback and replace our buddy that's down here in Tampa Bay now?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Will he be a backup?
For a while. I think first time he pouts, he's out the door. Belichick's not going to put up with that.
Yeah. Who's going to be, do you think, the starting quarterback for the Patriots?
They're high on Stidham, you know, which will second year backup. But how much he learned from Brady and the future, you know?
Tom Brady's down here, and he's out. You know him. He's a perfectionist. He's been out practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Much to the chagrin of some of the media, by the way.
Yeah, if he figures if people are in the bars hanging all over each other, why can't I go out and get some work done?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why not?
I can't blame him. All right. Time for our top 10. This is a good one, Ed. I want to see if you'll know what number one is. This is exercise.com coming up with the top 10 most fit states in America. Now, the ranking is determined by two things. Obesity prevalence in the state and number of gyms. That's how they do it, okay? So when we give you the state, we'll also give you its ranking in obesity and total gyms. Okay, number 10. Idaho, where they eat a lot of potatoes. Their obesity ranking is 14th, with 1 being the best and, you know, 50 being like the fattest, I guess. And the total gym ranking, 18th place, okay? All right, number nine. So we go from potatoes to cheese because Wisconsin, the cheese state, is number nine. Their obesity ranking is 28th. They eat a lot of those, you know, brats and cheese, I guess. And their total gym ranking is third. They got a lot of gyms.
Mm.
Okay. Number eight, Montana. Big sky country, obesity ranking seventh. You know, people running around. They got places to go. It's a long way to go. Total gyms, 23rd. Number seven, Hawaii. Yes, indeed. Obesity ranking, they're great that way. Everybody's pretty fit in Hawaii. Fourth place.
Got to be to stay on that surfboard.
Yeah. Doggone sharks.
Big butt fall
off
that thing.
Did you see all these sharks that circle these surfboards? That's scary. I don't think I'd get on
it. Don't fall off.
You're right. Let's see. Where were we? And their total gym ranking, 22nd. Okay. Number six, Massachusetts. I wouldn't have thought it, but their obesity ranking is terrific. They're in third place. Wow. And not bad for total gym ranking, 19th. Number five, Minnesota. Obesity ranking, 18th. Total gym ranking, first. Because it's so doggone cold there, you want to stay indoors and exercise. They got a lot of those places.
And you better be able to run with all that trouble up there to no police anymore.
Yeah. I don't think there's too many gyms inside that that zone, no. That shop zone. And if there were, they'd probably been whacked. Mm. You know what I mean? All right. Number four. The smallest state in the union, Rhode Island. Obesity ranking 11th and total gym ranking 7th. Wow. I mean, you can have four gyms in Rhode Island based on their size. It's such a little place. Number three, New Hampshire. Oh, yes, indeedy. Obesity ranking 11th and total gym ranking 5th. Okay, number two, we're staying up in the Northeast, Connecticut. Connecticut, their obesity ranking is 10th and their total gym ranking 2nd. Wow. Mm. Okay, Ed. What do you think is the number one state for
torn.
The fitness?
I was going to say maybe Maine.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Or Colorado.
I'm going to give you a hint. It ain't in the Northeast.
All right, Colorado.
All right, get on those drums.
Hang on. Hang on.
You know, you're pretty good on the drums. And I have to admit, you and Ringo Starr are my favorites. Okay. You are correct, sir.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it is Colorado. It's Colorado. The obesity ranking, they're number one.
I would have went with Colorado anyway. I thought Maine would stay in the Northeast.
Now, you go to Colorado, and you see a lot of...
Well, there's lots to do there.
Yeah.
You know, skiing will burn a lot of fat off you.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're fat, you can't ski.
Yeah, but that's what I was wondering, if the snow and the slopes and everything
you'll
has something
sink.
To do with
yeah,
it.
You'll just sink. You won't go down the mountain. You just sink right there.
Well, not only are they first in obesity ranking, which is great, they're eighth in total gym ranking. So, I mean, they're doing great in both departments. No question about it. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow. Always remember that freedom works.